Today has become sort of an annual tradition right here around Thanksgiving for our church over the last few years, where we sort of just take a day to remember, celebrate, and give thanks to God for his global work around the world through our small little church right here in Beaufort, Georgia. Global Missions Sunday. God has a heart for the nations, and he's called all of us individually and us collectively into his work, making the gospel known among the nations. And so we like to take at least one moment through the year and just sort of reflect on this and highlight this. And that Sunday is today. We weren't able to do this last year because of COVID, and things were just sort of different and weird, but So we have a lot of things to catch you up on, a lot of stories to share, but today I'll sort of be split into two parts. First, we're going to start off by sharing some of the stories of God's work globally through our church, through you guys, the flock called Emmaus, and then we'll jump into the scriptures and dive into the Bible and see what God has to say for us from there. But let's start off with some stories. We have way too many stories than we can possibly tell in the amount of time we have today, so we prepared for you a little report, a global impact report, we call it. Did this a few years ago, and in there you were handed it as you walked in. If you missed it, you can go out there and grab one on your way out. But in it, you'll see just examples and stories. Encourage you to read through this and get a glimpse of some of the things that God is doing around the world through us. I also want to pull your attention in there to the prayer request. Please join us in praying for all of these partnerships. We're partnered in Uganda. We're partnered in up in North Georgia and LJ. We're partnered in Hungary. Partnered all over the world, and we'd love you to be praying for our partners as they work to plant and expand the gospel in some of these places. But what I'd love to do is just sort of highlight two stories with you guys here at the beginning of our time together as we sort of celebrate God's work around the world. And the first one would be celebrating God's work at Noah's Ark Children's Home in Kaihura, Uganda. If you're newer to our church, you don't know this, but for the last 8 years, Emmaus Church has been partnered with a small village in western Uganda. I think we have a map called Kaihura. It's there on the far western side of the country. Tiny little place. You would never even know you were in it unless somebody told you. It's on the road that travels from the center of the country all the way into the Congo. And right there on a little blurb, a little blip on the map is Kaihura, Uganda. That's the little city where we serve. And God has done some amazing things in that partnership. We partner with the local churches there. We partner with a lot of the local schools there as well. But one of our partnerships is with an NGO, a non-government organization, a nonprofit, if you will, called Noah's Ark, that seeks to care for orphans and vulnerable children there in the Kaihura area. It's led by Ken and Beatrice Kabagambe. They've been here before. Perhaps some of you know them. If you've been to Uganda, you know them very well. They take good care of all of our teams as we go. But they started Noah's Ark just to care for children that are hurting in that community. Ones who don't have a mom and dad. Ones who don't have family to take care of them. And they bring them into their own home. Their house is like right in the middle of their compound. They've built on a boy's house and a girl's house and a school for them. But they clothe these kids. They feed them. They educate them. They're trying to set them up well for life. And they raise them in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Trying to train them to be faithful followers of Jesus. And for the last several years, they've been walking through a crisis. You guys know about this. We've shared it with you. Their school building on their property there has been falling down. I think we have a picture of that. And the government there in Uganda was threatening to remove their license to operate because this is where they educated their kids. As you can see, it's not great. The roof leaks. The boards there that are putting the building together are being destroyed by termites. Termites are a big problem in this part of Africa. And as a result, it really wasn't safe for kids to be in, and it wasn't going to be safe for much longer. And so the government was saying, unless you can build permanent structures, we're not going to continue to allow you to operate as a school. And this sort of came to a head last year in the midst of the pandemic when all of their funding sort of dried up. People in the States who helped partner with them and help make all this possible were no longer giving because we were going through our own crisis here with COVID-19. And you guys remember this, if you were around last year, our elders, our church, we just felt led to step into the gap, even in the midst of our own issues here. Even though we don't have our own building here at Emmaus Church, we're renting this space. We thought, why don't we step in and see what God might do? So we put a huge goal. We had never raised this much money before, but we put a goal of $110,000 before you as a church. That's about double what we'd ever raised at any one given time in our church's history. And we're just sort of begging the Lord to move through us, to move through Emmaus Church to build this fund that would work with another matching grant to try and complete the project. They needed $140,000 at that time to finish it all up. And we've told you this story, but you guys raised $196,000 in 2 weeks last year. Yeah, glory to God. And we're so thankful for what he did through you. And you've heard that part of the story, but as part of that, we were able to, this past summer in 2021, send one of our elders, Tom Watson, and a deacon from our church, Brad Hillman, to Kaihura to chronicle what happened. And they were able to take some pictures and catch some video of the story. So that this is the new school, y'all. It's done. It is open. It is beautiful. And yeah, this used to be a banana farm. So this is unbelievable for me to see. This is what the school used to look like on the inside. These are the old classrooms, and now this is where the students are learning. So it's just a beautiful, beautiful place. We had enough money left over because you guys are just so supremely generous that we were able to build a boys' dormitory, a brand new boys' dormitory. It's done. Needs a little bit of the roof painted there, but besides that, it's done. And then we also put in a new well water system to have clean water so they don't have to travel off site to get all that. And the water works now for the whole new buildings and all this kind of stuff. So glory to God, family. Round of applause. Thank you for your generosity and your work over there. There's a couple hundred kids that now have a school that works, and we're so thankful to that. While Tom was there, Tom Watson, our elder, he was also able to sit down with Ken and hear Ken's own telling of this story. And we wanted to share that with you as well. So check this out.
To me, God has taught me a lot about his faithfulness. And I just want to share a few, as I cannot exhaust it all. One of them is one great need that we had as Noah's Ark and Joy Christian School. When the Ministry of Education started closing all schools that didn't have the rightful requirements, especially to do with a license, and to qualify for a license, you needed to have permanent structures. So we're in this situation, looking here and there, trying to think how it would be solved. So what we did, we decided to have another step of praying and fasting, doing something extra before the Lord. This way, we were telling him that you are the only one, you are the provider, you are our master. We have done our ways. We could not make it. So we decided to be patient and decided to pray and fast with all the children. And we had a week of praying and fasting. But in this week, as we were praying for we laid hands on the building, the current structure, we laid hands on the plans, and we were telling God, come and make a way. Come and do a new thing in the wilderness. So in that process, remember, there had been an outbreak of the pandemic, the coronavirus, and it had put down the economies. As you are all aware, there was literally no hope of raising any extra fund because the amount of money needed, the balance was so big for any human being to understand and believe that it would be always received. So I got a call from Pastor Brian and Papa Tom giving me the great news about how they had raised 80% of the funds needed. But first of all, the question was, how much more do you want or do you need to accomplish the school? To me, since I was in my own sort of wilderness, I was like, that's very impossible. But again, God helped me open my ear because we had prayed and believed God for great and mighty things. You know, when we pray, when we do a step forward, let's always believe that he's able to answer his prayers and fulfill his word. So I was told 80% of the $140,000 had been raised, and the 20% needed was to be matched by a grant. I didn't know how that would be done, but I believed God that all would be done. So we received the first funds and we were able to start construction. We were pretty fast, because we wanted to catch up with time before the schools are reopened. And then I think a month after that, they called me again. And they're like, you know what? God is so faithful. And I'm like, amen. So later they told me, we raised more money than we expected. Could you be having some other projects that we can help implement. And remember, these are a list of things we had, and they were very important, but it was caring to tell everybody about the issues, because the other amount was already high. So as a result, we were able to build a boys' dormitory at the same time, and we were able to do the water project concurrently. We were building the school, we were building the boys' dormitories, and we were working on the water. So this helped me learn a number of things, that his ways, God's ways, are not our ways. He has always the best answers. He has the rightful timing. Sometimes we have like, oh, I know it. Sometimes we use our experience to say, I know it. If I do such and such, I'll be able to go through it. But in the actual sense, if we want, or if I want God to do, or to show his faithfulness to me, it's important we put away our experience, our, you know, life skills down and let him do a great work. So in enjoying the faithfulness of God, one of the things I think we need to do is to have something done about it, do something about that situation. Like we were able to have the plans drawn, but also prayed and fasted for these plans, knowing that in our own we could not make it. And the other thing is always to believe that he's able to do it. Sometimes it's very easy to look at our situations and always limit God by saying, well, I have tried it my own way. The doctors have tried it. My employers have tried it. My country, my friends have tried it. And so it's not going to be possible. Let me tell you something. It's all possible. All is possible. And our God is so faithful beyond our means and our imaginations.
Amen. Glory to God. Family, that's y'all. That's God working through you. One part of this story that Ken didn't share that he shared with me on a separate call was as they were praying and fasting, there came a day, one of the days that they were praying, where they just felt God speak to them, it's done. This is before we had even called, before we had it on our heart to step in, but God just laid it on their heart, I'm going to do this, and you're just gonna have to wait and watch as I do this. And they actually had like a day of celebration and worship. Even before they knew how it was gonna come together, they were praising God for his faithfulness to do a work among them. And then lo and behold, behind the scenes, even before it had happened, he was working in our hearts and preparing this moment. So glory to God. Y'all give a round of applause to the Lord and to you guys for being faithful to step in and be involved in God's global work. The other story I want to tell you is about pastor training, also in Uganda. You know, one of our, in addition to caring for orphans there in Kaihura, one of our greatest priorities as a church is to invest in the local churches, to invest in the pastors. We know that when it comes to the scriptures, God has plan A for reaching the nations, and that's the local church. He's called us into this work, and when you invest in pastors and are able to bring pastors into deep spiritual health with a right and faithful understanding of the Bible, you change a pastor, you change a church. And you change a church, you change a city. You change a community, you change the world. So God has a way of bringing his light into the dark world, and he does it through his church. And so we believe strongly as a church, we want to be highly invested in pastors and in churches in this part of the country. So two stories to tell you here. First, in March of last year, you guys, Emmaus Church, sent a team of 6 pastors to Uganda to lead a pastor training conference. You didn't even know about this. We meant to tell you the story, but this Sunday when we got back into town was the first Sunday of shutdown. So I was actually in Uganda when Donald Trump went on the TVs and said, hey, the borders are closed. No one can come home. That was a scary experience for me and for my wife, who was at home with our 3 kids. But we made it home. By God's grace, we made it home. But while we were there, glory to God, we were able to spend 3 days training 500 pastors and ministry leaders there in Kaihura and the surrounding regions in faithful doctrine. We spent 3 days just digging into 2 Timothy, teaching them what it looks like. This was Paul's letter to young pastor Timothy, and looking at what it looks like to faithfully preach the word. What does it look like to faithfully have qualified elders and qualified church leaders? How do we operate our churches in a faithful way. We got some pictures of this. This is the team that went, the six pastors that led the training. I was there. Pastor Matt, our student pastor, was able to go as well. A few of these guys that you see there are Acts 29 pastors from here in Georgia that went with us. And then actually Waluho, B-dubs, he likes to be called right there in the middle. He is an Acts 29 pastor in Uganda. He's actually, there's one Acts 29 church in Kampala, the capital of Uganda, and we were able to pick him up on our way through and take him out to the village with us, and he helped teach, which was a great experience for Ugandans to be taught by Ugandans in the faithful study of God's word. And we really, I mentioned there were 500 people. This is the crowd. We were only expecting about 300. We had done a training once before, but this was the room. They just, like, we couldn't even fit them in. There were people outside these windows and outside the doors because they wouldn't all fit, and you guys paid for their lodging, for their food, for their transportation, for them to be there. Here's another picture from the back of the room. Just an enormous conference and a great 3 days of faithful training. So I want to thank you for that. And then as part of that, one of the things that God just laid upon our hearts as we were at this conference was the need for deeper training. Like, you can bring together a big group of people and train them for a few days, but what do they do after that? How do you follow up with them and keep discipling these pastors to make sure that they're implementing and applying into their churches and into their preaching the things that they've learned? So the Lord just laid it upon our hearts, start a seminary. And we didn't know how to do that. We didn't know what to do. We had no clue how to pull that part of it off. But we did know, simultaneous to all this, here was a building, a new building being built that you guys helped to construct there at Noah's Ark. So we had some facilities. We thought, what would it look like for us to start a seminary? And that began a year-long process where, by God's grace, so excited to announce this to you guys, last month in October began the very first class of our seminary there in Kaihura, Uganda. So here's the first group of students. We've partnered with an organization called Global Training Network, and we've done it small group of students. There's 17 of them. We got another picture of them in their classes that very first week. But partnering to invest in them deeply. It's a 3-year program. They meet for 3 times a year for a week long each time. And then in the gap seasons, the instructors and the teachers go and meet with each student individually. The students have to teach a disciple of their own back in their own churches. And our prayer is, again, that God would just inject the gospel and faithful understanding of scripture into 17 churches there in Uganda, and out of that would come multiplication of discipleship in the years to come. So glory to God, family. God's doing a great work in Uganda through you. Again, y'all just give a big round of applause to God and to each other for his work through our church. And I want to say this, related to this, we would love to involve you guys in encouraging these young pastors as they're being trained. So at the Global Missions table there in the lobby as you exit today, we have some bundles of some blank cards, some note cards, that you can write some encouragements to those pastors. We're going to get them to Uganda in this next year as they start their first cycle of classes in February. So that being true, feel free to stop by, grab a note card with some names and some cards to be able to write some notes to them. And encourage them as they go through their studies. But family, this is you. This isn't us as your pastors. This is us as the flock called Emmaus. God calls churches to be engaged in his global mission. And through your love and your generosity, through your faithfulness, we're watching God do an amazing work in many places around the world. And these are just a few of the stories that we wanted to highlight. Please read your Global Impact Report. See all the things that God's doing. But glory to God for all this great work.